I'll call to order the June 29th meeting of the Sussex County Council. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, do you have some changes, I believe?
Yes. I'd like to suggest that we delete item 5 under myself, request for extension, a conditional use 1668, due to a couple of issues that we have at this time. And under Mr. Godwin, contract award for the hazardous emergency operations plan. I believe that contract is still being reviewed. I'd like to delete that item. And also under executive session, pending and potential litigation, we would like to delete that also.
Any idea when we'll have that contract?
The green one? Yeah.
I would expect by July 20th, definitely by July 20th.
Okay.
Mr. Godwin was working with Mr. Thomas, and Mr. Godwin's been busy this past week.
Sure.
But as I understand, I think Mr. Thomas is still reviewing that. I don't know if he's been to the attorney, attorney on it or not at this point.
Thank you.
Any other changes to the agenda? Not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
You got it.
Second, please.
So moved.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. In your packet were the June 8th and the June 15th minutes. Are there any changes to be made to those?
We discussed a tax on permits, and Mr. Baker informed us that the state tax is a 1% tax, and we tax at 1.5% for properties that are being developed within a year of ownership. And I understood from permits that the state's rate was 1.5%. I just want to verify or at least inform our permits people what the actual number is so that they will have the information. Because I was definitely told it's 1.5% on the state's half, and I think we need to deal with that.
I'll be glad to. I know Mr. Parker's here today, but we'll be sure to inform our building permit counter people that it is 1% for 1% the state and 1.5%
okay.
for the county.
Because the constituent I talked to was definitely told that it's a total of 3%. So I'd like to get that, clarified.
So the total is 2.5%.
Yeah.
Right. I think the state was actually probably just slow in making that change. Originally, the realty transfer tax was 2%,
mm-hmm.
and I think this was probably just something that they never changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the minutes were accurate, I just wanted to mention that there's some confusion at our level.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. If there are no changes to the minutes, I'll consider them approved. Mr. Moore, reading of correspondence.
Yes, Mr. President, there's one letter to Sussex County Council. On behalf of Woodbridge Elementary School, we'd like to thank Sussex County Council for the donation of $250 to our accelerated reading program. The donation will be used to purchase reading incentives for the students. The students will have a chance to receive a prize during the accelerated reading assembly. Thank you once again for your contribution. Jesus Cameron, Principal.
Any other correspondence from Council? No, we'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Baker regarding the presentation by Dell Tech.
Okay, the first item we have is Delaware Technical and Community College, and I'd like to welcome them. Roadrunners here.
There you go.
Make room.
I'm glad you told me what it was.
You should get a hug with them. That's always a cute picture.
Green eggs in here.
Green.
Get the green eggs.
Watch him, Hal. He pecks pretty hard.
Al's cousin.
Hal, it's a look of affection. You better.
Rhodey.
Dave, who would you like Rhodey to present it to? Should we present it to Mr. Phillips?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
What are we presenting?
On behalf of Delaware Tech, we want to thank the council for supporting us with all our endeavors, especially the airframe maintenance program. We could not do it without Sussex County, and we appreciate it. And as part of our thank you, we honored you this year at our gala as a sponsor, and we have a keepsake gift from actually, this comes from Kenya. Our gala this year was of the continent Africa, and so Rhody came to bring a gift to thank you.
Very good. Does Rhody promise to be good?
Oh, Rhody has been all over the county, and he has been on his best behavior. We were just out at Pat's before we came here, so he didn't get on any of the aircraft he wasn't supposed to.
I will take you down.
He keeps backing up, Vance. He keeps backing up.
Give him a kiss.
He's taking a liking to you, Vance.
I know. Oh, my.
Like, this is like paparazzi, isn't it?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're a good man. Woman, whatever you are.
Mr. Baker. Uh-oh.
Gender neutral.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate your support. Yeah.
Thank you.
Are you going to say hi to everyone?
Oh, here we go.
Hi, Rhody.
Sure.
You already said that's fine. You can keep going, Rhody. It's all right. I have your tail.
Better you than
I love your shoes.
Better you than your back.
That's the best entertainment we had since Dan Kramer's been here.
We need more visitors like him.
Or her.
Yeah.
Mr. Baker.
You couldn't
see it anyway.
The next item is board appointments. At the June 15th County Council meeting, Mr. John Walsh, Mrs. Deaver's Board of Adjustment nominee, spoke and answered various questions. The County Council on June 15th voted to defer on this nomination item until all members of the County Council were present. And as you're aware, Mr. Calloway's term expires this month, although, as with others, the terms continue until someone else is appointed.
I move to nominate John Walsh to the Board of Adjustment.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to nominate Mr. Walsh to the Board of Adjustments. Is there any discussion? We will take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Vincent?
A couple comments, I guess. I listened to the tapes and read his response to our two questions, and he seems a very educated person and had some good answers. I have a great concern that on the state website under Public Integrity Commission, list of lobbyists and current employers for John George Walsh, it shows Delaware Manufacturer Homeowner Association. And I have a great concern that being a registered lobbyist for an organization that comes before that board a great deal, how that could not interfere with some of your decisions. So I'm going to vote no.
I vote no. Motion denied. Mr. Calloway will continue in that capacity until a new member or Mr. Calloway is reappointed. Mr. Baker.
We have several other open positions, I believe. I'm not sure if the council is ready at this point in time to consider. There is another...
Well, excuse me, I have another nominee for that Board of Adjustment position.
Mr. Moore, is that appropriate?
It was board appointments was left open, did not specifically state which board member.
There is no objection. We'll give the floor to Ms. Deaver.
I do have a nominee who's very well known in the community, and I think you would find that his background is impeccable. His name is Ronald Gooch, and he is the former chief of police for the city of Lewis. He's been on the police force for 28 years, 14 of those years were as chief of police. He's very interested in serving on the Board of Adjustment, and I think he'll do a great job.
Okay. Is that a motion to appoint?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a second?
Well, let me ask this question, Joan. We just did go through a procedure where we do an interview. I would suggest if you make the motion maybe to not to appoint, but to
come to
the next meeting, and let's try to stick with this, what we just started.
I'll accept
We don't want to deviate from it in a week.
I'll accept that as
okay.
an amendment.
And then have Mr. Gooch get prepared. He can review
yes.
what has happened before, and as we go through this process, it hopefully will get better. So
mm-hmm.
I would make that motion.
Sounds like Ms. Deaver has amended her motion
yes.
to ask the council to interview Ronald Gooch for Board of Adjustments appointment, and Mr. Cole, I believe, second.
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Baker?
Okay, we have several other reappointments. One is to the Library Advisory Board. Mr. Earl Savage is his term is expiring. And the possibility of reappointing him, he is in Mr. Phillips' district.
Yes, he served a number of years. He's interested in continuing. I'd ask council to make that motion, please.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Vincent to reappoint Earl Savage to the library board. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Next, possible reappointment is to the Board of Adjustment, and this is also Mr. Phillips' district, and Mr. Jeff Hudson currently serves in that position.
Mr. Hudson has served well for a number of years, and he is interested in continuing to serve the county. I'd ask that someone make that motion, please.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion and a second to reappoint Jeff Hudson to the Board of Adjustments. Any discussion? If not, we'll take Ms. Deaver.
I would, with all due respect to Mr. Hudson and the good work that he's done, I'm sure, I would like to see new people on the Board of Adjustment because of the issues that we've had with the board.
I assume that is a no vote?
It's going to be, yes.
Okay, that's the discussion. Any other discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
No.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Baker?
Okay. The next item is board selection process. And now at the June 15th council meeting, the county council discussed possibly revising the rules of procedure regarding appointments to the Board of Adjustment and the Planning and Zoning Commission. It was the consensus of the council to review this draft procedure when all the county council members were present. Mr. Moore put together a draft for your consideration, and basically just to summarize it, the nominee, based on this draft procedure, would provide a resume and then answers to various questions presented to the nominee, and then the answers and the resume would be circulated to the county council in advance, and then the county council would interview in a public session and thereafter make a decision.
That was discussed at the last meeting. Mr. Vincent was absent. Mr. Vincent, do you have any thoughts on that process?
I think it's because it's just for new people,
right.
Not ones who are already on there. And I think that it would be good for all of us to at least have them an eyeball face to face and look at them and talk to them and ask questions and kind of get an idea what their philosophy is, that kind of stuff. So I think it's a good idea.
Are there any other comments from council?
No, I just think it's a great idea.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve the policy.
You got it.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to
approve. And that's sufficient in policy form or something like that.
I would ask that the motion would reflect that it's by amending, by adding the following rule 16A to our rules of procedure.
I'll make the motion as just elaborated by Mr. Moore.
Okay, and that'll be effective today. That'd be
once it's passed.
Once it's passed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that would be Rule 16A.
Right.
It also has an A.1 and A.2 as in your packet.
Okay.
Motion by Mr. Cole, second, please.
Yeah. Second.
Second by Mr. Wilson. Any further discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Cole.
You're welcome. Mrs. Deaver.
Mr. Baker?
Yes. The next item is Board of Adjustment appeal process, and I'll turn this over to Mr. Moore, who's researched this.
Yes, after, I believe it was the last meeting, there were some questions as to whether or not we could have a response concerning the appellate process as it applies to the Board of Adjustment. We have checked both the county code and the state code, and I believe a memo may have been included in your packet that refers to sections of the county code, which both refer to an appeal would be filed in a manner prescribed by the laws of state of Delaware. And then under 9 Delaware Code 6918, it clearly states that the Superior Court has jurisdiction to hear appeals from the Board of Adjustment, and it sets forth the procedures for doing that. And in the memo, I have also included a copy of the Delaware Code for your review.
Well, if that's the case, I think it's a big burden to put on applicants or non-applicants or people who are involved in a situation. And court, I think we ought to give them another step before something has to go to court. I don't think we do it anywhere else in our county charter where they go directly from a decision to have to go to court. There seems always, we've always, I think, gone out of our way to try to get an appeal somewhere in the process. So it would take state legislation, right, to change this, Mr. Moore?
Which would be all three counties.
The way it's drafted now, well, it does.
I don't think they support that, but you can go
ahead. Well, no, I would just think that I would like to see that if there is support here, a consensus here with the county, with this county, that we maybe send Mr. Godwin, we got a little bit of time left. I mean, they can write it. It's a simple amendment. Well, I know it's a simple amendment, but I think that it would make sense to most people listening to it that people right now, when they get a decision at these boards, they go directly to court. And I don't think that's fair to people to do that. So I think we could maybe see if we could get something drawn up real quick. I understand they write up bills up there real fast right around this time of year.
My concern would be, again, potential unintended consequences.
Okay.
I think before, I would recommend prior to instructing Mr. Godwin to look at that, if that's the council's intent, to look at what types of matter would come to the county council first for appeal.
No, it's not all everything. Variance?
That's right. And that's what you need to look at. Do you want everything to come here or only certain types of cases to come here for review first?
Well, would we have the ability, say, like, say somebody can make an appeal process, make an appeal to us, and then we could look at the appeal and figure if it merits or warrants us listening to it, or if it's something, like you say, that doesn't meet this certain threshold that we would have, which we don't have. We don't have anything out there saying here's the threshold, but I just would think that somebody would have to, in writing, make an appeal, you know, make a request for an appeal, and then we could consider it. We either say yes, we'll accept appeal, or we say no, we don't accept appeal. So instead of trying to say here's the threshold or here's the standard you got to meet, you'll have to make your request in writing, and it's either accepted or rejected. Isn't that possible?
Well, again, like we would need to look at, number one, would it be a brand new hearing here and all the evidence,
okay,
or is it based upon the record that was, we're reviewing the record that was made at the Board of Adjustment? Are you looking at doing this for the granting of the variance or for special use exceptions,
all right,
well, or everything?
Okay, I understand. Okay. I don't think we'll get anything done today then. David, hopefully I think there is a consensus for us to meet with the board. Could that definitely be part of an agenda item,
yes,
that we will discuss?
About that a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, and then if there is a If the staff could maybe get an outline of some things, what they think immediately, so we can go in at least with some talking points, it would be helpful that maybe Lawrence and Everett get together and say, here's the areas we ought to look at, instead of just going in there, should we do it or should we not? We have some, at least some focus. So, okay.
If there's a...
Strike that then.
If there is a meeting in July, late July maybe, Mr. Baker, where we don't have public hearings in the afternoon, maybe we could have a workshop over lunch out at the West Complex. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And at that workshop, we'll go, I think it's appropriate we go over this entire memo that Mr. Moore has drafted. There's a lot of salient points in it that need to be discussed with the board.
Okay.
Help me understand something. The Board of Adjustment hears minor subdivisions. Is that right?
No.
Mr.
No.
Moore,
they're
not, address
they're
that?
Hearing variances.
Oh, it would be variances.
Variances on minor subdivisions.
Somebody who may have 140-foot frontage, or maybe 290-foot mm-hmm.
yeah.
frontage
mm-hmm.
that wants to divide their parcel in two.
Right.
We have 150-foot front minimum. Board of Adjustments, Mr. Lank, correct me if I'm wrong, is the body that looks at distances, and if they feel that it's a reasonable request, they have the ability to provide the variance from that 150-foot minimum
correct.
Requirement.
That's one of the things that I'm very concerned about.
The variances are typically dimensional. Issues,
mm-hmm.
Spacing, setbacks, sign height, et cetera. And they also do special use exception, which is a list of items that would readily receive through the board,
mm-hmm.
lesser
yeah.
impacting, and some are major impacting. For example, they also review asphalt plants and concrete plants as a special exception that
mm-hmm.
come to council. There would be the two major ones. Communication power, get a little bit of issue with those.
And if somebody builds a house and they discover after it's all said and done that there's a mistake, then those even people come in.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably
a lot of
variance process, probably 30%+.
They already build it.
They've already started or and yeah, probably right. Close to 30%.
Let me ask you this on building the house too close to the thing. We do have a inspection at the foundation, right?
Correct.
Why are we not measuring the found? I mean, aren't we measuring for setbacks at that point?
In most cases, they do. But when you're looking at the foundation, you're not seeing the full structure because there's cantilever issues, there's deck issues,
right.
depth issues. It all that would be the
right.
encroachment.
But at least we. I mean, when you say not all, but when somebody does go out and inspect a foundation, they do check the setbacks at that point on that foundation.
I won't say they all do, but they should.
Well, somebody ought to.
It's not the final. That's the problem. It's not the final construction.
I know, but that's a
but
good time.
It doesn't show steps, decks, encroachments, cantilever, box bay windows that go to the floor. They have to meet setback requirements also.
Right. But if you got a problem there, that means there's going to be problems with the steps and everything else. So I would think that would be an automatic. I don't know if anybody else is serious or concerned. It doesn't take a whole lot to take the tape measure out at that point.
Well, the difficulty with a tape measure, if they're going to the minimum, tape measure is going to make it look like it meets the code because the tapes you can't hold a tape.
I know. Well, somehow I don't know. Well, how do they do it at the
transit? We get it when we see it from a transit survey where the surveyor is going out and actually done it, and we see it's 0.1 or 0.2 feet off, and they have to go to board. What they do in Newcastle and Kent, Newcastle, I'm sure, but Kent, I think they do also. They have an administrative variance if it's less than a foot.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe
we
should
talked about
that too.
Years ago, and we were kind of uncomfortable with that because we had some concerns about some of the builders that would repeat all of a sudden everything 9 foot instead of 10.
But that could be appealed.
So we never adopted it.
And that's something that could be appealed.
It could be. And also if we realize at staff level that there's all of a sudden the same people are doing the same thing, it's going to have to go to the board. We're just stop grant administrative report.
These are very good questions and issues. We'll discuss it during the workshop.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It pleases the council. Thank you. Mr. Baker?
Yes. The next item is a grant request item. The current fiscal 2010 budget, which expires at the end of tomorrow, included an 8% grant reduction for the Sussex County Fire Service, totaling $183,707. Some other budget changes during this current fiscal years have occurred, including such items such as some employee bonuses, additional funds for towns for local law enforcement, some funds for the conservation district. What we are proposing, a proposal for your consideration, could be to restore one half of the fire service cut during this fiscal year, totaling $91,854, with a contingency. That would be that if the county finance department is comfortable that the net increase in fund balance or revenues exceed expenditures for fiscal 2010 meets or exceeds $91,854, then the grants would be awarded. The funding increase could be allocated to the individual fire and BLS departments based on the formulas currently used to distribute the funds. And I have a copy for you of how that could be done.
You basically said that it's not automatic. It's no. Contingent on some certain things occurring.
That's right.
Right.
It would be contingent on, as we won't have our final numbers for the year until later on. It'll be at least after August 31st because of various accruals and whatnot that need to be done. And if at that point, sometimes after August 31st, if the finance department feels that we have a net increase in the fund balance of $91,854 or more, then with this proposal, then the grants would be made.
And this is the allocation.
And you'll bring it back in front of us before the grant is made, or is this automatically going to happen? And because there may be something else financially
that would be
going on that we might want to look at the total effect on different things that are happening or something.
Well, we would be glad. We could. I think what we're asking for today is a commitment from the council so that we could, if the council's interested in doing this, we would be able to charge it to fiscal year 2010.
I don't have any problem with that. I think you should come back and say, here's things added up, and if we have any questions, we could ask them and make sure things added up, as opposed to something just all of a sudden triggers it and it happens. I think we still ought to be back into the mix. So.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
If that's going to happen, I don't see any problem doing it. I'm getting it in for the next thing.
Mr. Vincent?
I guess my question is, I understand what Councilman Cole was saying, but if I understand this right, when you talk to the auditors, if we don't do this today, then we can't charge it to this current year's budget. So if we find something we want to do different in August, we still can't do it. June 30th, if we haven't made this motion or any motion,
no, I'm saying make
you
the
can't
motion.
Take any money out of
no,
it.
Before that $91,000 gets slipped from one column to another, I just think that we ought to be back and said, here's what's happening.
Aware of it, sure.
And we have the ability to say yes or no to it, even then. But, I mean, this motion will get it where it needs to be, I think, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm just saying I don't want to see it all of a sudden we say something here today and all of a sudden somebody says September, middle of September. Oh, yeah, by the way, we shifted that. We won't remember that it even happened or something.
Okay.
So I just keeps us in the mix.
Okay. Mr. Vincent, please.
I have a motion. Be it moved that Sussex County Council authorize the expenditure of $91,854 in additional fiscal 2010 grants to the fire service if and when it is determined that the general fund net increase in fund balance for fiscal 2010 equals or exceeds $91,854.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the granting of an additional $91,000 and some change to the fire service.
Contingent on certain things. $54.
Is there any further discussion? I would like to say that we are only in this position because of the excellent work by our budget committee, our finance department. It used to be that we never knew where we were until January of the following year.
Until we were there.
Until we were 6 months past there. And the hard work that's gone into keeping this council apprised of our quarterly position has allowed us to be much more efficient in the way we allocate funds. So a tribute to the budget committee once again. If there's no further discussion, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, and if we had to pay those volunteer firemen, we'd be looking at millions and millions.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Vincent. Mr. Baker?
Yes, thank you. The next item is a request for extension for conditional use 1705 from the Commonwealth Group, and Mr. Lank is here. Again, this was considered on June 15th, and the council deferred action until today when all the council persons are present. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Lank to give you an overview.
Just as an overview, and June 9th of 2010, I drafted a memo to Dave updating condition 1705 for the Commonwealth Group. That's for warehousing, mini storage, and contractors' condominiums. We had received a letter from Timothy Jones, general counsel for the Commonwealth Group. Council granted approval of this conditional use on October 2nd, 2007. The Planning and Zoning Commission has granted final approval of the site plan on April 22nd of 2009. All necessary agency approvals have been granted and received as of May 4th of 2009. And this application would terminate on October 2nd of 2010. Now, that's the reason for the request from Timothy Jones, General Counsel, for a time extension.
The request again was for, say it again, I mean, I was making a note here.
1 year time extension. The original application was warehousing, storage, and contractors' condominiums out next to the airport.
Right. And the reason
Park Avenue.
He gives for the extension is again?
The reason, well, I attached the amendment, let's see. On behalf of Georgetown Airport Center LLC, the owner of the above referenced property, please allow this letter to act as a request to extend the approval period for the conditional use for an additional 1 year. That would extend it to October 2nd of 2011. As we move through the acquisition and approval of this site over the past few years, we worked closely with the county with the understanding that there was a growing need for additional industrial space to relieve the uses at the industrial airport. Our broker, Cushman & Wakefield, continuously canvassed the marketplace in an effort to bring awareness of the project. Various businesses show interest. None are willing to commit to either leasing or purchasing portion of the property. As everyone is aware, the current economic conditions have restricted the ability of companies to commit to expansion. Furthermore, even if employees were able to expand, the ability to obtain financing is non-existent. These items, along with the length of the approval process, have hindered our ability to proceed with this project. We continue to market the property for potential users, which will bring additional jobs to the county. In addition, we are working with local and county agencies to explore various ways in which federal funding could be used as a tool to expand and job growth. Pretty much in summary.
And did they do anything with DLDOT, DNREC?
They have all their agency approvals. There's no activity on site.
No activity.
It took them 3 years, didn't it?
No activity.
They had approval. The granting of the approval was 07. Mm-hmm. They had all their agency approvals as of May of 09.
Mm-hmm. 2 years.
Okay. And it would terminate October 2nd of this year, mm-hmm. unless there's a time extension.
Now then.
They have till October of this year?
October 2nd of this year.
Think they could get going?
To be substantially under construction.
That means they'd have to, what's the standard? Cut in there, cut out some roads, make some storm water?
Cut the roads, do site work, put an entrance.
Do something. Do
utilities. Do something. The list.
Well, all I got.
You could do.
The current economic condition affects different people different ways. And here's my only concern is we start lowering the standards that you have to meet. And current economic conditions mean different things to different people. I know some people are doing very well in these current economic conditions, and I know different businesses are doing awfully bad and just struggling. So
I don't think that meets the threshold when you haven't done a thing. So it seems to me they're just trying to market it, and we're marketing and economic conditions, I don't think, are sufficient reasons for us to be granting extensions, because there's no definition of what that means. I mean, it's open-ended, and I think that, you know, if there was a problem with permits, if there's a problem with other things, what they've got there, gentlemen, is a model that's not working. And you just can't keep giving extensions and think it's artificially going to turn things around. So I think we start opening up a path that I don't think, I personally don't want to go down. I just think that we are very gracious, we're very generous with our extensions. I don't think it's worthy of extending. So I just... There's a certain amount of risk in everything you do, and it's just like the, you know, everybody else at the different levels of government, you're trying to take all the risk out for everybody, and I don't think you can do that. So we'll just be back here in another year from now, and the economic conditions may not change.
So, question for Mr. Moore. If we take no action, this just basically is ignored until a future date?
That's correct.
Okay. We don't have to make a motion.
Let me just say this. We also, here's one coming in because of this reason. Again, unintentional consequences, as Mr. Moore just talked about. Everybody's going to have an economic problem. So everybody's going to be asking for extensions because we gave this one. So just be careful where we go. Like I said, we shouldn't even be accepting them. We should have some certain standards to accept an extension. They need to, like, have they had problems with state agencies? Have they had problems with the federal agencies? Have they problem, you know, whatever. But just to, you know, do nothing, and then you get a letter saying, hey, we've had some economic hard times. Well, we all have.
The ordinance is just recently revised in the past year. There is no time extension reference at all. It's a
three years.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Stops at 3 years. If there's no substantial construction, then it's void.
And how long has this been going on? This has been going on for how many years?
Since 07.
Since this was approved, 07. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Vincent, anything?
I do understand what Councilman Cole was saying. It does seem like that it could be different reasons, different people, and it'd be a long process to go through all this stuff, have anything. But I'll also say, I mean, this is June. Their extension is to win October.
Mm-hmm.
Right, July 2nd.
Maybe they will have some more information by September or something to come back and say we're getting ready to start something or whatever, you know.
All right. Unless I hear a motion, we will.
I would like to make a motion.
Okay.
To grant the extension.
Okay. Is there a second to grant the extension? Okay. I guess the motion dies for lack of a second.
Well, let's put it to rest.
They have until October to get started, and I guess if additional information becomes available, a council member could put it back on the agenda.
How much extension did they need?
Excuse me? They asked for a year.
They asked for a year.
That's all you can ask for is a year.
For a year.
That's all you can ask.
But this lack of a second for this motion now to extend it does not say they can't come to us in September and say we are starting
always come
whatever
back.
And whatever and we can...
Keep coming back every week if they want.
Well, I would ask that they they work through a council member. The administration, I'm sure, is going to be very cautious about putting this back on the agenda without a council member's advocacy. So,
what district is it? Sam's district?
Excuse me?
Sam's district?
I believe it is. I think it's out there.
Airport, that's your district, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
I would have a tendency of seconding a motion unless we're saying he can't come. If we say he can't come back when this does run out and ask for extension.
No, we're saying it does. They're able to come back. You're always able to come back and make it out.
If he can come back, I would say just put him off till
okay.
A little later.
Closer okay. Time.
No action taken.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Mr. Baker.
Okay, the last item I have is the county administrator's report. The first item on the report is Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities. Attached is an agenda for the July 19th meeting of the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities, which will be held at the Sussex County West Complex at 10 a.m. DelDOT Capital Transportation Program request. Sussex County invites the public to offer suggestions for the upcoming 2011-2017 Capital Transportation Program request, which the County Council will submit to DelDOT in early September. Residents and property owners with ideas for improving local roads, walkways, public transportation, and other related infrastructure and services can go on the county's website to submit their suggestions. Please visit the county website and click Transportation Ideas link on the right side of the main page to fill out a suggestion form. Submissions will be accepted now through July 30th. Administration will review all suggestions and then compile a draft report for the council's consideration in late August before submitting it to DelDOT this fall. And I'd like to thank Mr. Chip Guy for putting all this together, which is something new. We haven't done this in the past in this manner. Mortgage assistance seminar, July 7th. This is a reminder. This seminar will be held July 7th from 4 to 7 p.m. In this chambers. This will provide information regarding special low-interest mortgage programs offered by the Delaware State Housing Authority. As previously noted, our goal is to make home buyers, lenders, and builders more aware of this program, which is underutilized in Sussex County. Substantial completion, Bay Forest Club, Phase 1.5B was granted on June 22nd. Developers Bay Forest LLC. It's located on Whitesneck Road and north of Old Mill Road in the Millville Expansion and Bethany Sewer District, consisting of 39 single-family lots. July 4th summer holiday. In honor of the July 4th holiday, county offices will be closed on Monday, July 5th. Also, the County Council will not meet next Tuesday, July 6, 2010. The County Council will also take a summer break on July 13th and will not meet on that date. The next regularly scheduled meeting in the County Council will be July 20th at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Do you have any questions for Mr. Baker? If not, we'll move on. Mr. Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, did we adjust the order of my schedule so I can work with? No. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
Perhaps.
I wanted to review the restaurant report with you first so we can let our restaurant door, who's here, he has to go to work. So I was going to try to do that first.
I can certainly entertain a motion to amend the agenda to move the Lighthouse Landing restaurant report first in Mr. Godwin's presentation.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make one more correction. I know you've all worked together.
They do work very close together. I think you're
Sam right. Wilson, but you did that.
Feminine side of Mr. Cole's coming out today.
For the past 2 years, our restaurant at the airport has been operated by Mr. Paul Bushness. Thank you. Mr. Bushness has leased and operated our restaurant at the airport since June of 08, which has been just 2 years this month. In the beginning of our endeavors together, Mr. Bushness and I had discussed a business plan, and we have a lease, of course, and I enclosed for you in your package on Friday some of the documents that we used in those discussions 2 years ago, which outline the kind of restaurant operation that we wanted and the features that Mr. Bushness was going to bring to the table, so to speak. With a lot of experience in the restaurant business, I have always felt and still do feel very confident in Mr. Bushness's skills. The situation that we've come across over 2 years, as you've heard earlier in discussions, is that business for some hasn't been real good and business for others has been good. In this case, what I wanted to bring to your attention is the sales at our restaurant have declined. They have not been up to our expectations. And I really don't think that decline is attributable to the operator. I think it's more the general economy. I think you'll also find that people who have been visiting our airport I'm not sure if our other businesses there have felt a decline as well, but in any event, our restaurant has felt a decline. Most recently, Mr. Bushness and I have discussed a plan forward. thinking that there were probably some need for changes in the operation. And that's why we're here today, since the lease that he works under is between his business and the county council. We wanted to petition your consideration for making some amendments to the lease. First of all, I've mentioned to you that sales have not been up to our expectations, particularly this past January and February, as we all struggled to clear the snow out of our driveways and get the heaters working, get the electricity back on. We weren't going out to a restaurant for dinner. And Mr. Bush's business suffered tremendously during those 2 months of bad winter weather. However, with Paul's skill, we have tapped into his experience and put together a marketing plan to move forward, trying to bring the sales back.
Need one.
Paul's always reported to me that he's had a strong lunch business at the airport, and the dinner business seems to have declined more than anything other than any other meal. So what he would like to do is to serve dinner on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings and close the operation at 4 p.m. the other days while he goes through a rebuilding process. This change in the lease would reduce his cost of operation. Reportedly, his dinner sales have gotten to the point on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday that it hasn't been able to cover expenses. We do have a plan forward to promote and advertise the business. If you listen to the Smooth Jazz radio station 97.1, you'll hear Paul's advertisements on there. I've heard the advertisement. I think it's very classy. I think it's very well done, and I think it will definitely attract the right kind of people and an increase in the dinner business. Mr. Bushness has also made a commitment to advertise regularly in the money mailer. You all get those in your mailbox with coupons for the dry cleaner and the favorite restaurant, as well as other businesses that are promoting through that direct mail medium.
What is the proposal?
The proposal would be to amend Mr. Bushness's lease for just 1 year to allow him to reduce the hours of operation. Currently, the hours in the lease are 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week, and 8 to 8 on Sundays. What we would like to do is allow him to close Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4 p.m., and we'll come back no later than this time next year and report as to how the business is doing and whether or not we have reopened it, the extended hours, or whether we have not. But we would like to have that 1 year period of time to work together to try and rebuild the sales for the evening business.
Mr. Cole, would you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I would say this. I would remove all restrictions. And if he's paying the rent, he's in the restaurant business. I would just I don't know where every time government tries to dictate, we never do a good job. Even though we are not attorneys like you see at federal level, and we do actually some of us work. Sam's maybe the only one that doesn't understand this concept, but I would remove all restrictions on hours and meals served, and just let the gentleman run a restaurant where he sees his most success. So.
Does this motion modify the rental agreement?
No, I would just...
No.
Okay.
No, I would just say if he's willing to pay the rent, I can give him the flexibility to run the restaurant how he wants to run it, and then see how that works in a year, and take some of those restrictions off of him.
Any comments from
anybody?
Council?
Any problems with that?
Mr. President?
Mr. Baker.
Can I make one comment? There is... I've talked to Paul, and I'm certainly supportive of what Mr. Godwin is suggesting and what Paul have come up with, but I did want to make you aware that we do have an issue of some back rent on the lease, mm-hmm. But we are working that out. And
that should be all taken care of by the 15th of July.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only issue, and I don't know the specifics of the lease arrangement, but I assume it's a bit of a subsidized lease if it was in the open market, would it be much different than what it is now?
Quite honestly, the lease is a rather traditional lease. I did rewrite the lease with your approval 2 years ago. We provide for water and sewer, and we also provide the gas bill for heat because we do. It's very difficult to divide the heating costs in that building, so we just pay that. Mr. Bush just pays his electricity and He pays all of his other bills as far as vendors are concerned. He also takes it upon himself to do some cleaning duties around the building that really aren't part of the restaurant. So, I mean, he's been a good tenant. But as you can well imagine, it is difficult, particularly with today's economic environment, to make a business that's somewhat off the beaten path.
Well, that's what I say. I'd rather take as much burden off of him from us, and if he wanted to do, just as say, breakfasts from April to October, fine with me. If he wanted to do lunches, you know, year-round, fine with me. If he wanted to do dinners 3 days a week, fine with me. I just think that we ought to just let him see if he can turn that thing into being a success, because it seems that it's, you know, we get going out there. And
It's a unique location.
You know, a little wrinkle comes along, and all of a sudden we got problems, and this way maybe it'll give him the flexibility to make it work.
I will accept Mr. Cole's comments as a motion to basically take all the restrictions
off. Is there
anything
ever?
My only question is,
when the lease was done, were there terms and conditions that were attached as an exhibit possibly?
No, what I've given you were attachments that I had circulated around the community when we were looking for an operator as to our expectations in the lease. The lease does have hours of operation in it, and if the motion is passed that those hours will be removed, then we would just amend the lease and take those out for 1 year, or we could do it permanently however you see fit. But the hours of operation were in there because we were trying to dictate when the restaurant would be open, that it would always offer three meals a day and so forth. And it was just, we've come into a difficult time since this past winter to make that.
Well, I also even see this one where it's number five on our preferred services. Now, are preferred services part of the lease?
No, this is really a summary. What I've given you is a summary.
But we have here, like, we're saying to him at least three dinners are going to be offered at below $10.
Right, that's not in the lease.
He wanted to do one, too.
That's not in the lease.
So that doesn't, he's not required by any of this stuff.
No, this was preferred services. At the bottom it says these are county preferences only. They were not requirements. Well, we're trying to set a theme for the type of restaurant that we were seeking.
Let's let him set. I think we ought to shift the responsibility to the operator. I mean, that's just my thoughts on it. Especially in these economic times, give him the flexibility. He knows more about it than we do.
Mr. Moore, would you like to offer some preferred language for the motion?
Yes, I would suggest that any motion indicate that if the lease needs amendment, that we're authorized to make that amendment, if necessary. I've not had a chance to look at the full lease. Mr. Baker's just passed it to me. It's a very lengthy, extensive lease with attachments to that. If it needs amending, then the motion can indicate that the authority is granted to amend the lease.
Okay. Do you have language for a motion? Did you prepare a motion?
What I can do is just make a motion that we allow the hours to be reduced according to Mr. Bushness's plan.
Or just remove all.
Really, all I was going to—I was just going to ask for
restrictions on hours or in
you,
meals.
Yeah, you. What I was going to ask for was permission to close the restaurant at 4 p.m. four nights a week. That's what I was going to ask for.
Okay. Well, it sounds like Mr. Cole would like to make a motion.
Well, I'll make a motion that we remove all restrictions on hours and number of meals served at the county airport, and I guess that would free up a lot of the issues. Maybe. Okay with you, Paul?
Yes. Thank
and
you.
To amend the lease. And to reflect that.
And be able to amend the lease.
Okay. Very good. Second, please.
Second.
Any further discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Diva?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thanks,
yep.
Sir.
Thank you, Paul.
Good?
Go for it.
Thank you very much.
Came in for
Paul works hard at that operation.
Got a home run.
It's not the traditional restaurant that you see on the highway. It does have its unique features, so I appreciate you giving him the flexibility to do what he feels he needs to
do. Well, he's a good restaurant operator.
Yep.
A lot of experience, and he should be able to.
Moving on to my legislative update, I want to go through. First of all, let me start off on the first page, House Bill 333, which was our bill. We introduced that, which would give us the flexibility to enforce sewer connections through the JP Court, has been passed through both chambers and signed by the governor on the 22nd of this month, so that is now state law. Moving down on to page two, Senate Bill 292 is a bill that will allow us to reset our property tax dates. I'm sorry, it'll reset our tax warrant dates, allowing us to bill property taxes more efficiently creating fewer mistakes every year. That bill has passed the Senate, and it should be in the House today or tomorrow. It is currently on the House agenda for today, so I need to trot up there and help usher that bill through. I have gotten considerable help with that bill. House Bill 449 is also a bill we're promoting. It is past the House and in the Senate. It is not on today's agenda, but I've been assured by our sponsor over in the Senate, Senator Bethany Hall Long, that the bill will get considered before they close tomorrow night. So I'm hoping to see that on tomorrow's agenda. I wanted to speak with you briefly about House Bill 442. This bill, I was told at one point last week that this bill would be tabled. It has not been tabled. This bill, as a matter of fact, could have an impact on the way we do sewer business. The bill, let me get my copy of the bill because I want to be specific with you on this. I don't know that it's going to get dealt with, but if it does come up on the floor, I want to know how you want me to deal with it. House Bill 442 basically talks about striking in state code Title 26 the term a service territory. We're talking about sewer service territory, and inserting in its place the words an existing service territory. Now, the difference, if this bill were to pass, the difference that would make for us is that our sewer planning, utility planning department may be calling an area a service territory because they're planning to serve there in 5 years or so. If we had to only be able to control areas where we had existing service, that would change because that would mean we've got a pipe in the ground. We're actually servicing the area. So I think we would like to oppose this bill in its current wording because it would reduce our ability to plan ahead for sewer territories. Newcastle County also feels very strongly against this bill. They had asked me to petition your support some weeks back, but with the comfort that this bill wasn't going to move, I didn't come to you with it as pointedly as I am today. But since we're in the 11th hour of the General Assembly, and since the bill has not been tabled as I was told it would be, if it should make it to the House floor for consideration, I wanted to get direction directly from you as to how to deal with this bill.
Who's behind the bill?
The bill is sponsored by Representative Walls in Milford, and he's the one that has assured me all along the bill's not going to move. He also assured me it was going to be tabled, and he hasn't tabled it. I caught him in the hall Thursday of last week and said, "Bob, I thought this was getting tabled," and he said, "Well, I haven't gotten to table yet, but it's not going anywhere," unquote.
Is it to protect the private?
I think it would give private sewer private sewer purveyors more ability to sort of get into the government's territories. That's at least how I interpret
it. It is my understanding that the purpose of the bill, that there were certain tracts in southern Newcastle County that had all the approvals waiting for development, and the county has not provided sewer service.
Correct.
And this was stating that if the county is the one that controls the sewer service and they are not providing the sewer service, then after a five-year period, if they don't make that available, that then they could seek a private.
Right. It's about determining the basis for a CPCN, which is a territorial endorsement given by the Public Service Commission. And you're right, our attorney's exactly right. It's really aimed at Newcastle County.
But it doesn't say just Newcastle County.
It would have an effect on us.
Is there a reason we wouldn't oppose it?
The second part of the bill was very specific to Newcastle County, but the first part says that if a private company could establish a new facility in almost anywhere except an existing service area. And an existing service area, there's no definition of it in the code, as I understand. However, an existing service area could be interpreted to mean possibly a sewer district where we have pipe in the ground today. And when we make an expansion on a sewer plant, for instance, we're planning like for a certain planning area where we don't have pipe in some of the areas we don't have pipe in the ground today, And so there was concern about that first part of the bill, which I don't have the bill in front of me, but I think it was Section A of that bill.
Right. It's the very top of the bill. I was promised that that was going to be tabled. I was promised that section was going to be amended out. None of those promises have come through. We're cranked down to the two-minute warning here. The game's about to end.
Does anybody have a problem with us opposing that bill?
I think we should oppose it.
Well, I don't quite understand why, if the county or somebody won't do it in 5 years, why the private person can't come in and do it. With our
ordinance, that's the way our ordinance is structured, so that if a developer comes in, even in a county sewer planning area, where we have a map, the engineering department has a map of various planning areas, and if a developer comes in and he is ready to build a development within that sewer planning area, and the county cannot today say that within 5 years we'll have sewer there, then that developer can go ahead and build within the sewer planning area. And that's the sort of the second part of that bill sort of models, I think, what we're doing.
Right.
But the first part says an existing service area, and in talking with at least representatives from one of the companies the company that is behind this, they indicated they would be willing to pull that part of the bill. But I think because it's sort of in limbo, I guess, the bill, the whole thing's in limbo.
I really don't think, I think there's maybe a 10% chance we're going to see action on this bill, but I wanted to be prepared for it. If at 2 o'clock in the morning I've got to stand up and say something, I want to be able to represent what Sussex County Council feels about this bill.
Does Newcastle offer the same option that Sussex County does, offering five?
No, Newcastle County has complete control of all their sewers in the county.
Doesn't Kent also?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. But I know Newcastle County, you can't build sewer in Newcastle County unless the county builds it for you, or you've got a special waiver from them to let the private company build it. But they don't have the open field that we do, where they don't really have to work to get a CPCN in Newcastle County. They have that authority.
And Sam, the downside of that, Sam, is when we create these districts, you know, we're looking at the numbers of people and everything, and that keeps the cost down. When you start, you know, knocking off these territories because we didn't meet a timeline, then the rest of the people then are going to be, the costs are going to go up. And we've had a history of keeping costs down, so that's why the other counties aren't as open-ended or open field, like an open field like we are down here with the private systems.
South of Newcastle County, south of the canal in Newcastle County, the county has a difficult time providing sewer. I just don't think they have the treatment capacity south of the canal, but they have had a number of issues, very rapid growth just north of Middletown, and the county has really struggled to serve that area with sewer, and that's, I think, what this is pointed toward.
So it is the first part of the proposed
lines one and two. The first two lines of the bill read, Section 1 Amendment, it says, amend 203D, Title 26 of the Delaware Code, by striking the phrase, a service territory, in the third sentence thereof, and replacing it with the phrase, an existing service territory. So it's only a couple of words being changed, but it means planning area versus an area that's in place. And we feel it could create a problem for us if that wording were to stay the same. If they were to change that wording in the very first lines, we don't have nearly the heartburn, I don't think.
But it is the first part that you're looking for guidance on.
Right.
Not the second part of
right.
It.
And Mike, are you familiar at all with what's going on?
I'm very familiar that when we put the ordinance together, and I think you want me to come up.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar that when we put our particular ordinance together, we worked with the private sewer companies, and I think they think it's a good ordinance, and the engineering department also thinks it's a good ordinance. But if this new language would somehow, I don't know if it would supersede our existing ordinance or if it somehow weakens it, I would say that's not a good thing.
But you don't know yet if it's...
I would have to defer to Mr. Moore on that issue because it's not clear because service territory is not defined.
Yeah, it's not defined in the code, and that was the problem, was the first paragraph, the first section of this bill, not the rest of the bill. That was very specific
Let's oppose it because of the it's not clear, definitions poorly worded or something like that. Because, again, I,
or
I don't know where to go on this myself, and if we just say no, they might interpret a no meaning something else. So if we could somehow clarify the no, why we don't support
to the first section.
Right. Yeah. If you somebody could
possibly support an amendment to eliminate the first section of the bill. And then
yeah, there was supposed to be an amendment coming to do that. It never happened.
Right. Well, I'd like to have Mike's input because it affects his. So if somehow you can run by Mike real quick, and he has a better feel of it than most of us.
Okay.
I personally don't know.
So if it comes up on the House, if it comes up on the floor in its current form, I will object to the first two lines of the bill.
Because
it's not clear as to how it affects our service territories.
Okay.
Right. We're okay on that.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
That's good.
Okay. I'll carry that as discussed. 442. The House Bill 466, which is the bill we've had some discussion about, the whole dog tethering issue. We've provided you with some definitions of tethering. I asked the primary sponsor, Representative George, on Thursday how she defined the word tethering, and she told me to look it up in Webster's Dictionary. So we did that. But in any event, I explained to her that while we're certainly not supporting animal abuse, an animal's life in Sussex County might be vastly different than in Wilmington, and that we needed to have a little more discretion, and that you would rather set your own rules for how to discern animal abuse rather than having them set for you. She laid the bill on the speaker's table Thursday afternoon. Again, there's not much chance that it's going to come back now and get dealt with, because we'll have to go through the House and go through the Senate in 2 days. It's probably not going to happen. She even admitted to me in an email, because we emailed back and forth Friday, that she understood your concerns, and she didn't mean to constrain you, wanted to give you flexibility, and will probably reintroduce this bill in a different form in January, provided she's reelected. She put that little caveat on the bottom.
Good for her.
But I don't expect to see this bill come back before we adjourn Thursday morning. Okay. But I wanted you to know where we stood with it. She is cooperating with me and has been understanding that there is certainly a difference in the two ends of the state. House Bill 487 is going to is a bill that I need some real direction on. I've heard a lot of discussion about it. I was there in the House chamber when it was rushed through this past Thursday. This bill is aimed directly at us, I believe. 487, let me read for you the synopsis on the bottom of this bill. I think you've all read it. Would you rather not read it?
Read it.
Okay. The synopsis of 487 is this. This act provides county governments...
Prohibits
county governments from requiring elected or appointed officials to waive their right to receive previously vested county pension benefits upon their election or appointment to office. This act provides, however, that a former county employee who does not choose to give up previously vested county pension benefits shall not be eligible for additional years of service or additional vested pension benefits. I would like to get clear direction from you as to what position you'd like me to take on this bill. It's likely to be acted on tonight or tomorrow in the Senate. It went through the House of Representatives very fast, so I need some direction.
And how was the, do you have any recollection how they voted? Was it?
In the House, it passed, it got 21 votes, which is what a bill has to have as a minimum to pass the endorsement of the House.
As soon as the Atkins bill, George.
Right, I know whose it is, the downside, I mean, an individual can still run for public office.
Sure.
Right, it's not restricted. Now, the other two counties have already done this?
This wouldn't apply to any county other than ours in Delaware, because the other two counties
already do it.
Will allow you to do that.
They don't do it.
They already have that in their ordinance. Sussex County ordinance is different, so they're attempting with state law to basically change our ordinance.
Right.
Change.
What do they have in their ordinance?
Their ordinance is that you can run and get and serve and get a pension.
Mm-hmm.
Sussex County's, you can run, but you can't get your pension and your salary. Mm-hmm. You have your choice.
But we would pay the same, no matter, I mean, we're going to be paying a person that runs and gets elected to county council, and we're still going to be paying our pensioners. So I don't see how this, I don't see how it costs us any less.
It could become a double dipper, Joan.
Well, that's...
And as far as two pensions.
There's a lot of double dipping that goes on.
That doesn't make it right.
I mean, there's a lot of double dipping if you want to talk about double dipping.
Well, it's like some of these other issues, Sam, that double dipping seems to be accepted at, you know, statewide, you know, with the state government and the other two counties. So, you know, I don't know. It's not that, I think the issue's already been basically resolved. The majority think that double dipping is okay. Whether I personally don't like it, I'm not a big fan of double dipping.
Except in
Sussex. Look, you know.
Mr. President, except in Sussex County, there is a specific ordinance in Sussex County that indicates, I think it is Chapter 26, Number 8, employment restrictions. So there is something different in Sussex County that's directly addressed this in the past.
Mr. Vincent.
I would make a suggestion that I have mixed emotions, I guess, on the bill, but the thing that bothers me a great deal is that people in Dover are going to tell Sussex County how they should run the county.
Amen.
And I would be very inclined, if we feel necessary, I think the people of Sussex County should have an input on this and not people in Dover. And I'll be more than happy to have it drawn up and introduce an ordinance that would, in fact, change this and let the public have input and voice their opinion, yes or no, and then make a decision. So I guess I would suggest we send that message to the Senate today.
That we'll change your...
I'll introduce an ordinance, you can mention my name if you choose to, that would do what they're asking to do, but we want the public to have a public hearing. Let them come forward and say, we like this idea, don't like the idea, and then the council will take a vote after that.
Well, the public can go to Dover, too, if they want to. I have no problem with 487.
It's going to be very hard for the public to get to Dover this afternoon, Jim.
I agree.
And I think this, it appears, I don't know this, I have no idea who this is or what it is. It appears to me we're doing this for a specific individual, and to me that's very poor government. Introduce a bill for a person to run for office.
It appears to me that having it in our ordinances that the way it is now is an attempt at self-preservation.
I would also recommend that ordinance has been in place exactly as it is for probably 30 or 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's...
We can take a motion on that.
Yes, I will accept Mr. Vincent's motion to direct staff to craft an ordinance. Which?
Well, why don't we wait and see what they do in Dover first? We don't want to be wasting any staff time. Wait, we'll just send a message. We'll do it in house.
Mr. Vincent, what is your pleasure?
We got to do that, George, before the Senate votes. If we don't do that,
Mr. Vincent has the floor.
I will make a motion that we address this issue by having an ordinance drafted that we'll introduce. We will have a public hearing, and after that public hearing and public input, we'll make a decision.
I have that motion. Is there a second?
Got it.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to direct staff to create an ordinance which will address the issues that are currently found in House Bill
487.
That council will, Mr. Vincent has suggested he will introduce that ordinance and we'll have a public hearing and a council vote.
You're going to vote
on that change of policy. Is there discussion? Ms. Stever?
Well, it's a delay, and I think it's a political self-preservation move.
Well, Joan,
Mr. Wilson.
Okay. If it's a delay, how long have we been doing this? For 30, 40 years? Why in the world are we in such a jet of a hurry to do this the next few weeks? Why do we have to do this? What? Start with the employees that come to work for Sussex County knows the rules, regulations, knows what they're going to get. And now why in a hurry we have to just do this so fast? So I don't think we're really in a hurry. I think we're thinking this soon, and we're going to do it right.
Any other discussion before we take the vote, Mr. Cole?
I'll just say that it obviously there's politics being played, Sam, and on both sides, everybody's playing a little politics. So the thing is we should take this position. I think that means we will, you know, take care of making our changes to our charter, and we ought to have the ability to do that.
But it also, Dover can easily just ignore that and go ahead and adopt it. We're stuck with it. But what our response is right now, we'll do it. We got home rule. We'll take care of it. Right. And we will introduce, and Mr. Vincent has stepped up the plate. So I think this is all we can do. But are politics being played? Sure.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Now, the vote is on whether to oppose this.
The vote is to direct staff to craft an ordinance which addresses the issues found within the bill.
No, not at this time.
Okay.
No.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, but don't direct the staff until a couple days from now.
Well, that's different.
Getting doing any work
that's
yet.
That's different.
This motion clearly directs the staff. Now, we can come back if action is taken in Dover and readdress the issue.
Okay.
I
vote yes.
Then it would be a yes.
Ms. Deaver, are you changing your vote?
Yes, it would be a yes, because in two days' time,
we'll know what the state has done.
We can do it.
Okay, again, for clarity.
If the state hasn't done it, we can do it.
For clarity purposes,
this
motion directs staff to craft the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Okay, and you are going to vote yes.
Yes,
okay,
have to.
Mr. Wilson vote yes, Mr. Cole votes yes, Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
And I'm going to abstain. Motion carry.
You're going to abstain?
I am abstaining from this vote.
He figures he's a target.
I'll report. I have an appointment at 1:30 with Senator Blevins, who is the majority whip in the Senate, and I had made an appointment to carry a message to her, and I will give her the message that you passed that.
But I'm not against the 487.
Made that perfectly clear, Ms. Deaver. Mr. Godwin, what else have you got?
We have one more bill that I wanted to briefly go over with you. I was very concerned when I saw this last week. House Bill 460 is a bill that relates to handicapped accessibility, and it made reference to federal code in the bill, which I wasn't familiar with until a day or so ago. This is the federal code that they're asking you to adopt. However, our building director tells me, and I'm going to ask him to come to the microphone now, Mr. Wright has informed me that we already do most of this, so it really wouldn't be much of a change. Mr. Wright?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, from what Hal's shown me through this build is the ADA requirements is more or less taken right out of the standard that we've been referencing through our international code. So I don't see anything that would be hindering or putting
so the
more
adoption of this won't have any impact
no.
to speak of on what
none directly, no.
Okay.
So you're already using this federal code in your daily work as it refers to handicapped accessibility and specs for building in Sussex County.
That's correct.
So it really doesn't offer any change in operation or cost.
No, the only thing I've seen that would difference is the way they, in one section, as far as the violation or penalties.
Right, they want us to come up with, it does say the regulation will include enforcement provisions and a penalty provision, which
we do not have.
So it would require us, this bill, let me read it to you. I'll read you the whole thing. Amend Title IX Delaware Code by adding new section 310A to read as follows: access for persons with disabilities. Then under that A, the county government of each of the three Delaware counties shall adopt regulations and ordinances that adopt the standards for accessible design in Appendix A to 28 CFR Part 36, that's this thing, no later than February 15th, 2011. B, the regulations or ordinances adopted pursuant to this subsection of this section must include an enforcement provision and penalty provision. We don't have that at this point.
That's correct. But we will create the penalty part of it here.
Yes.
They're not dictating penalties.
Must include an enforcement provision and penalty provision. The county governments shall strictly enforce the requirements of the regulations or the ordinance. That's pretty much the meat of the changes. So we would have to come up with penalties and enforcement.
Okay.
Now, I haven't focused on this bill, but our friend from Laurel, Mr. Lee, my cousin, has asked me to do some homework on this bill for him, essentially, to give him some guidance as to how the county felt about this bill. So that's why I refocused on it a little closer.
Let me ask you this. As we adopt various codes here that are brought down from above, whether they're international code or what have you, we're often told we have flexibility to modify the code if we choose to, either through policy or through a public hearing. does this take away some of our flexibility? If we discover an aspect of the code is just unreasonable? And with respect to the enforcement and penalties, we haven't been enforcing now. Is there a reason? Are some of those requirements a bit over the top, and we just have felt like it's better to maybe not be so stringent?
Well, the standards that we've been enforcing have been, a lot of them are direct, indirectly right in the international code now. We haven't per se said it had a handicap code, but the way we looked at it was by complaint only. When they come in to issue the permit plan review, we bring them up to their awareness at that point that they should abide by this. Majority of them do it anyway, and by meeting the code, they're meeting it the standard when they build it.
How about, I'm kind of, so, you caught me blindside here. How about some, there's churches I know that have tried to comply with handicap rules, but just because of budget constraints, because of whatever reason of structure, they may have not been able to fully comply. Are we going to start sending inspectors out looking for structures that don't comply?
The most time, the way I understand it, is if they come in for remodeling, renovation, additions, at that point we can step in. But if we're not going to go around police, public facilities, private church associations to make sure that they are meeting that, is my understanding of it.
We're still complaint-driven, the enforcement?
Correct. I think, Vance, weren't you referring to new buildings too also?
Well,
new churches and things like that?
I'm just a little concerned with us maybe supporting something without completely understanding it. I don't understand it completely.
Aren't we already doing that today?
Yeah, we're doing it.
We are enforcing it today?
Yes.
Yeah,
we've been doing it.
Indirectly.
Indirectly. I mean, like I said,
that's a majority of this that's come out is already in our building code. That if they meet the building code, they're already meeting most of the accessibility requirements.
But you said complaint-driven. Does that mean that from here on we're not going to be complaint-driven, rather
complaint-driven
we're going to be proactive?
Complaint-driven is on existing buildings.
Okay.
If it's new construction, when they come in to do the plan review, at that point
you get picked up then, right?
It's picked up then. But if it's just a church that's been sitting there for 30 years, we're not going out there and say, hey, you need to do this, unless it's complaint-driven.
Okay. All right, doesn't sound like there's any concern at council, so you may go ahead.
And if it is complaint driven, you can change it. You can force the church into going towards a complaint, right?
Yes. We reserve that right, yes.
No such thing as grandfather laws.
Mr. Moore.
Yes, I would point out that Section B indicates that county governments shall strictly enforce the requirements of the regulations or ordinance. I just received this the same time all of you did, and, you know, not knowing what's in here, but it does state that we shall strictly enforce. And I'm not sure you're asking the question, you know, what kind of leeway we have. I'm not sure that we have the leeway because the statute or the bill says shall strictly enforce.
Yeah, but shall strictly enforce is not defined as what, I mean,
you know,
are strictly enforcing it? Maybe different than somebody else's strictly enforcing.
In some of these cases, are we allowing people to come to the Board of Adjustments, for instance? I guess Lawrence isn't here. Is the Board of Adjustments a place that some folks may come currently and try to get changes that they won't be able to in the future? Just a question. I mean, for instance, a ramp that has to have a 1-2 slope or whatever. Yeah. They only have room for a 1-3 slope. But can they, you know, can they now come to the Board of Adjustments
I thought that the Board of Adjustment was to relieve hardship. And in a situation with a handicap ramp and a setback, I think it's pretty clearly a hardship, at least in my experience with Board of Adjustments. They have been pretty willing in all the jurisdictions I've worked with to
correct.
Make
does
those
this state
kind of
law
adjustments.
With the shall strictly enforce take away our ability to allow an applicant to come to the Board of Adjustments?
I'm not sure.
Where is the bill as we speak?
The bill is in the House of Representatives, and it is, I'm not sure where it is in the process. It was just given to me Thursday. So I don't see it on any of the agendas for today. So I don't know how hot this one is.
Well, you could go up there, and in your conversation, I would say enforcement is a concern. You know, to enforce it, since we already do most of it, if not all of it, it's the enforcement of it that Sussex County has a concern with, that it'll deviate from our current enforcement model that we use here in Sussex County. And so anyway, we just...
It's not on either of the House agendas for today.
I think it's been assigned to the Health and Human Development Committee in the House.
Well, that may...
Right.
Nothing may happen then.
So I'm not sure it's going to get worked on.
Okay. It doesn't sound like council is prepared to take any...
If nothing happens, we're still... Our code is covering it, so...
I can always say that we need more time to study this. We're not sure where...
We're not avoiding.
Whether to oppose it or not. But we are concerned, about the... the words shall strictly enforce.
Okay.
I can make a point of that.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. Next issue, Mr. Gobb.
That's the end of my report. I just wanted to make sure that I had passed the important issues by you before I drive to Dover today and represent your concerns.
Safe trip.
Yeah, thank you very much.
While you're up our time, we're opposed to House Bill, our Senate Bill 119. Do you folks know what it is?
Okay.
Why don't you inform
me? Mr. Wilson, you have the floor.
Senate Bill is we must buy our electricity off of green energy. That's your power generators, your turbines, when I say power by wind, and solar power and all those things, which will drive our electricity at least double, maybe three times in a short time.
Is this a House bill or a Senate bill, Mr. Wilson?
Senate Bill, 119, passed through Harris McDowell.
Mm-hmm. Where is it? Has it been passed?
It's gone through. It's in the Senate. It's now in the House.
Ms. Deaver, have you any thoughts on that bill?
No, I haven't read the bill. Okay. It's the first I've heard of it.
There has been concern
expressed. I can assure you, you're not going to get your electric rate bill about a year from now. They talked about it over to Greenwood Electric Light Place. Bill Andrews spoke on it quite some time and said to run our electric light bills out of sight. And it's going to affect everybody in this county. That's why I thought it was important that this county council should know this, and maybe even
anything that increases the bill, the electric bill of our residents in Sussex County, we oppose.
So the Sussex County Council opposes Senate Bill 119. Is that the story I should carry?
If that's what it says.
Absolutely.
If it says that everybody has to buy green energy.
Yeah, anything forced. If they're mandating that, yeah, we have to buy some. We don't like that.
They force the companies to buy from green energy, and regardless what price they pay for it. If you're paying 7 cents, they can force them to buy it for 20 cents or whatever.
Sounds like you have a consensus, Mr. Godfrey.
We'll do.
Anything
in these
else?
Dire times,
thank you.
We don't want to do anything to raise prices.
I think it says that.